Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
Hey, so today I'm concluding our Love Thy Neighbor series. And just a reminder, this is not just a six-part series that we sort of move on with. The idea is that we catch this, that we model and follow Jesus. We sort of model him, that he listened, that he prayed, that he served, that he ate and drank with tax collectors and sinners. So we're modeling Jesus. Really, this series, it's about being intentional. It's about sort of taking a bit of an intentional approach. I mean, it's really hard to sort of unintentionally serve someone, right? It's quite hard to unintentionally invite someone over for a meal. I mean, they might rock up at your house, but it's hard to say, oh yeah, come on in, or have a chat to that person. It's about an intentionality. And so it's the same now as we talk about sharing our story. We ought to be prepared for the hope that lies within us so that when God places us in a moment, or when in fact we find ourselves in a moment, that we can faithfully respond. So before we get to the main message, I guess today, I want to do a bit of a personal audit or a personal reflection. Just right now, before we even get to the main passage. And so how we're going to do that is just, there's going to be another verse up on the board. And I want you to just pay attention to whatever the Holy Spirit is leading and doing in you. So some of you might want to close your eyes. Some of you might want to read the passage up on the board. And let's just spend a little moment asking God what he has to say. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Reveal to us what you want. Romans 1:16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." Just going to read it one more time slowly. Remember, just ask the Lord, what are you saying to me right now? "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." What's God saying to you through his word today? Maybe some of you guys are excited, really encouraged by that. Or maybe some of you, if you're honest, are like me, and when reading that passage, even one that I'm very well, like I know it very well, I wish I didn't know it very well. Maybe if you're like me, ironically, the very passage that says, "Do not be ashamed of the gospel," has in fact brought about shame or fear or worry about sharing this good news. Isn't that just funny, hey, that the devil can twist even scripture, right? You think about Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. He used scripture, didn't he? When we come to the topic of evangelism or sharing the gospel or outreach, maybe that's what you feel. Maybe you're right here today and you are ashamed of sharing. Maybe you can think of the preacher on the street who's just fire and brimstone and turn and burn, and you're just like, oh no, I do not want any of that. Or the Jehovah's Witness who knocks at the door, and you couldn't think of anything worse than making a spiritual sales pitch to a stranger. Like, what? That's not for me, you might think. But are these valid reasons to withhold the message of the gospel? Why do so few of us share our faith with our neighbors? My hope is that after today's message, you would be not only not ashamed of the gospel, you would see the power of this gospel and hopefully have some tools in your back pocket so that you can share your story. So today, let's go to the main passage today from Romans chapter 10. We're going to read from 13 through to 17. It's going to be up on the board, or feel free to open it up in your Bibles. It says this: "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one who they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." What a wonderful and rich word for us today. Here, Paul, he's the author and the writer of Romans, he is making a very clear and in a way almost clinical language and sort of a progression to describe what I'm going to call the anatomy of salvation. Now, I did a little bit of anatomy in university, and it makes me queasy. The idea of looking into a dead person's body is like, ooh, don't like that. But the anatomy of salvation, I'm all for that. All for that, and I hope you are today. I hope you can follow along with me today. As we have just read, Paul uses five sort of main steps to describe how someone is saved into the kingdom of God. These are sort of logical steps, and hopefully you'll see that they're quite logical, but they're in a way a little bit backwards. So today, to help paint the picture, I'm gonna sort of reverse them and we'll work sort of backwards. So here we go. Are you ready? Are you ready, church? Come on. All right, here we go. Yeah, great, 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 awesome. So Paul's gonna use these five key sort of participles or descriptive words to make his point. And the first one is saved. Sozo is the Greek word. This is what each and every one of you who call yourself Christian has received. You, if you've placed your faith and trust in God. Now, this word is less about sort of one day being picked up and going to heaven when you die. That's not really actually what saved means. Sozo, or saved, is really when you are being rescued from danger, being taken away from destruction, or delivered from some sort of suffering, set free from sin, but also healed your body, your spirit. It's not used just in the idea of one day you'll be saved. You know, in the future when the new heavens, the new earth, or when Jesus returns, that's definitely saved, but it's not just that. It's also not like that one moment when you put your hand up and respond to Jesus. It's also used in the idea of you are being saved, even here, even today. But did you hear what Paul had to say here? He says this: everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And everyone in the Greek, get this, you have to understand this. Everyone in the Greek means this: everyone. It means all. It means everyone who calls on the name of the Lord is what? Gonna be saved. This is the confidence that we have, guys. This is the confidence we have when we tell our story, when we tell the story of God. Everyone who hears will be saved. And it says this only a few verses earlier in verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that he raised Christ from the dead, you will be saved. Did you know that salvation is close to you today? Like right here. We're not talking about heaven when you die. We're talking about right here today, in this room. Do you know why? it is as close as your very own lips today. That when you call out, when you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. He is risen. It is not complicated. It's not some far-off thing. It is right here, ready for each of us to proclaim. And so we just need to say this simple prayer, Jesus, you're the Lord. So today, have you said that prayer? I want to encourage you, and as I was praying for us today, I mean, I so strongly felt that there's someone here, at least, maybe a few, who are yet to call on the name of the Lord. And if that is you, it is no use waiting for Christmas or until you have your life sorted. That's actually what Jesus is going to help you with. So call on the name of the Lord today, and I'm going to give you a moment to respond at the end of this service. That's the first word. The second one is believe. And here he begins a chain of rhetorical questions. The first being, how then can they call on the one that they have not believed? This is really core to how we are saved. We have to repent and believe. And this is, of course, how Jesus came. He proclaimed this message. Mark, the first sort of instance of Jesus sharing in this world, he says this, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent, believe the good news. Jesus has come. The kingdom of God has drawn near in the person of Jesus. So come believe that good message. Receive it. But to receive that is not just to believe it in your head, but in fact, it's to do something with it. When we're talking about believing in Jesus, this is not some sort of mental assent. We're not talking about just theory. Belief is tied to obedience. It's tied to walking in faithfulness, in following Jesus. Do you know why? Because even the demons believe and shudder. So there's something different about just believing in Jesus and then following Jesus. Really believing him, knowing him. And ultimately, it is about trusting Jesus. So do you trust God with your life? I've liked to think like I trust God, but often it's hard to trust him when you don't really need to rely on him. Do you know what I mean? You may have heard, but I've actually recently resigned as youth pastor. Which I'm super sad about, really, genuinely, but really excited about. I just feel like, you know, my wife and I, Annie, we've grown up at this church. We've been pastored at this church. We've been discipled at this church. You know, we're the people that we are because of, really, this church, you guys, and what God's done through us. But recently, we just feel the call of God sort of to step out into this place of unknown. And so we're really excited, but also we're really like, what are we doing? Is this right? I'm pretty sure the next season is going to stretch us and test us and squeeze us in ways that we didn't even know possible. For example, I currently don't have a job, which is really, really frustrating because I like to have a bit of a plan in my life, you know? Maybe some of you guys know what I'm saying. It's a bit scary, but we're excited. But this has caused us to just have faith and trust in God. And sometimes we need that, don't we? Maybe you've been in my shoes before, and you yourself have also jumped jobs, and you felt like God said, no, I've got something else for you. Or maybe when you arrived at River Life, you left another church, and you were like, I'm not sure why. I just feel like I need to go to that River Life church. What is it? God drawing you here. Or maybe when you were yet to receive a healing in your life, you needed breakthrough. Come on, God, come and do something in my life. And that caused you to trust God, drawing near in faith, in obedience to him. So much of our faith in God requires not only belief, but obedience. He wants both, really. This is what Bonhoeffer said famously. He said, only he who believes is obedient, and only he who is obedient believes. We need both That's what we're trying to say. So how can you call on the one that they have not believed in? Salvation really comes through belief in Jesus. And that belief came for you, and then you are now required to obey him at his word, follow him with your life. The third one we read about is this other question, but how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And this, River Life, is really where it's landing for us. I was so encouraged by these stories this morning, just of how God is really lining things up for us in our neighborhoods or in our friendships or in our netball groups. You know, it's just amazing. But this is where it really lands for us. Hearing, according to God, is very important. Just think about it. He could have chosen a range of different means to reveal salvation to himself, right, or to us. So like, why not when drinking a beautiful cup of coffee? Is that not the means that God uses to bring about salvation? I mean, it's pretty good, right? Or like, what about like this idea of like inheriting whatever religion your parents have? Why didn't God use that as the method for bringing about salvation? Or like, what about studying and just learning all the right answers? Wouldn't that make sense? Once you pass this test, you become a Christian. But that's not how God made it. God works with us. He shows us that hearing is vital for believing. And the picture I see is like there is an echo that has been resounding through history. All people really, just like this resounding echo, waiting for the gospel to land on ears, not just ears, but open ears. And we're talking spiritually here, of course, we're not talking physically. Yes, through an online platform or an Instagram post, you can hear the word of God. Praise God. It's not just about, open ears physically. So when did you first hear the gospel? Maybe you're yet to hear it in full. But when did you first hear about Jesus? When did you first hear that message, that sweet, beautiful message that God in his love came for you? Seriously, right now, think about that. Maybe it was just a few months ago. Maybe it was 40 years ago. Chances are, someone told you about Jesus. I mean, chances are someone shared the message of Jesus with you. And this is exactly where Paul goes next. Another rhetorical question. How can they hear without someone preaching? For someone to be saved, they have to believe. And how, if they to believe, they have to hear. And for someone to hear, then of course someone has to preach to them. That makes sense, right? This is a logical progression. I hope you're following with me up on the board. Now at this point, the majority of us would probably go, awesome, I am no preacher and I don't want to be. Awesome, get out of jail free card, mission therefore is not for me. It's not my job to preach. The Bible, even Romans says, preaching is the thing. But the word here is kerusso, which means to proclaim, to announce publicly, in fact, to herald, to maybe publish. This is not reserved for a preacher behind a pulpit on a Sunday as much as it is reserved for an everyday disciple of Jesus. This is it, guys. This is where it lands for us today. It says this, the same word used in Mark's gospel. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere about the Lord, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by signs that accompanied it. To preach really is to share your story with everyone and anyone. It is the sharing of the gospel, not only at church on a Sunday, but all throughout your life. And, you know, Francis of Assisi, he's often misquoted, but this is actually his words. It says this: "It's no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching." In other words, each of us, not just John and me and Joe, whatever, Patria, not just us preaching need to practice what we preach. All of us, River Life, have to practice this idea of loving thy neighbor and preaching the gospel. Really, that's what it is. And so to look to share the gospel in love, we find opportunities to proclaim through words. More on that in a little bit. And finally, the last bit. For someone to preach, proclaim, to share the story, they have to be sent. How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Martin Luther, he says, the entire source of an origin of salvation rests on this, that God sends out someone. And praise God that he did send out someone. For God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever should believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to what? Save the world through him. So this is it for us, guys. Not only was Jesus sent, now we are sent. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are good to go. You got the permission form. You've got the test result you need. You have got every means by which you the required, like everything you have. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got the tick of approval. You don't need to wait any longer. No Bible college, no professional development, nothing. Even if you're immature in your faith, oh, I only just know Jesus. Awesome. Guess what? He sends you as well. All of us sent. Jesus commands us to go. It should be the exception if we stay. And so this is how Jesus commissioned his disciples, saying, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and commanding them and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded with you. I'm going to be with you wherever you go. And so being sent is what the apostles were. They were sent out by God. Holy Spirit empowered them to go. And just now, as the Father and the Son, the Spirit now send us to go. This is why we have to know the story of God. We have to know what is happening in the world so that we are not leading people astray. I'm going to skip over this bit. I'm sorry, we're lacking time. Can you go to the final? Yeah, this one. So if we get this wrong, we're going to share the gospel of my own kingdom, our own self story. And this is wrong. We'll skip over to the, thanks for it, Nate. Yep. If we get the things wrong at the start, we're sent by the wrong reason. We're sent by works, really. We're going to do false preaching. Maybe you can think of other religions that are doing this. I don't know. And you hear the gospel of self. You believe in your own self. Then you end up relying on yourself, a self-salvation, not salvation in the way of Jesus. And anyway, I'm sorry, don't have time. This is great in theory. But how does this transform our life? How does this change how we live River Life? This hopefully is a super practical sermon. Just think about all the people that you talk with, you share with, all the people you converse with on a weekly basis, people at the dog park, I mean, your IT support person on the other line, I mean, your parents that are parenting with you at the you know, the playground, or maybe your university college person that you wish that you're in a different group assignment with or something. Yeah, there's so many opportunities to share. And so how do we share? In fact, what are we sharing? We don't want to be sharing the wrong story, right? So what are we going to share? So on one side, we have the gospel. Hopefully this is going to help you guys. On one side, we have the gospel. This is what God has done through history, recorded through scripture. But I mean, we don't want to just stand up and read out the Bible, do we? Is this the best way of sharing our story? Just recounting scripture? Is that it? Well, no, not fully. We need the gospel, of course, of how Jesus came and died for us and the love that he was displaying to us, how the Holy Spirit helps us. And on the other side, though, we have your story. Your story. This is like, you know, the ins and outs of your own life. But I mean, you don't want to just be sharing about your recent, like, I don't know, for me, haircut, or like what your favorite team is, or like what recent thing you purchased. You know, like that's not enough. I want to make the point that the most powerful story that we can share is when God's story, the gospel, interacts with and sort of meets our story. And right here, this is when it becomes a powerful witness. In other words, you are sharing what we would call your personal testimony. How the gospel has changed you. This is really helpful when reaching out, when loving your neighbor, when sharing a story, because people can argue away the gospel in the sort of theory and abstract sort of way. It's really hard, however, to argue away how you were broken, maybe physically, and God healed you. That's really hard to argue away. Or what God has done in your life, he's given you hope and a future. Like, it's really hard to sort of have people argue that out of you. This is why your testimony is a powerful witness. We've been praying for opportunities to share through love, to listen. We've been praying for opportunities to serve, just as Jesus did, inviting people around, eating and drinking with them. And now, the relationship might have been built, and now we can share our story. So what is your story? Just have a think. Have a think about your story. And the way I want you to help you with this is just through three different words. I mean, literally words. Before you met Jesus. What happened when you met Jesus? Or, you know, what happened there when you encountered God? And then what are you like now? What I want each and every one of us to do is to find only three words. So before, when you met Jesus, and then after. Three words. You can think about it right now. What were you like before God? What happened when you met him? And how has that changed and transformed your life? For me, I've just got these three words: proud, love, and purpose. So, I mean, I grew up in church, but I mean, before I really met God, I was the youngest of four. I was just really wanting to show how awesome I was to people. And I did pretty good at that, actually. And that was a joke. And God did absolutely rock up in love. He has changed me. I don't desire that anymore. But really, whether here at River Life, somewhere else, whatever, even a janitor, I believe God has given me a purpose for this life. To live for the kingdom of God and not for my own kingdom. What's it for you? Three words. And you might think, well, that's just too easy. I need a whole paragraph. Go for it. But what I'm trying to say is, if we don't think intentionally about sharing a story, like even just the three words, super simple, I don't know if we're going to step into it. So maybe this is a bit of homework for you. If you'd like to go home, think of your three words. This turns into a 15-second testimony when you're talking to your neighbor. Hey, why do you do that? Oh, well, man, God showed me his love. And I mean, I have just this full purpose now that I met God, etc. And what I want to do with this, guys, I'm kind of excited about this. I don't know if this is going to work or whatever. But I want to challenge you to share Temba. So across the month of September, starting next Sunday, actually, I want to call you guys to a 30-day challenge, a 30-day challenge for the month of September. Try and share the story of God, your testimony, in however that works, with one person every day for the month of September. Oh, scary. Oh, wow. Yeah, maybe. Hey, I did this in the month of March this year, and it was amazing, guys. It was so good. It was an amazing failure. I mean, it's so bad. It was so bad. I found myself squirming, just being like, I gotta share. And then it just, you know, often it just didn't work, you know, in a way that I thought. And it was so good because you know what? It just reminded me of this truth that I hope you're hearing today, that this is not our job to convert people to Jesus. We have got that wrong. Guess whose job it is? God's job. It is God's job. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the truth. This is like the confidence that we have when sharing our story, is that it's going to be God who does the work, not us. Oh, praise God. So I did this. It worked a little bit. It really challenged me. And I ended up writing down the names of the people each day. That I was like, oh, I got to share with that guy. Oh, it was amazing. The electrical dude, he came around. And then the dad at the park. Wow, so cool. He was actually at a Baptist church in Townsville. Wow, so cool. He's been running away from God for like the last 10 years. What are the chances that I was at the park with him? Oh, my goodness. Praise you, God. Amazing. So, heaps of stories like that. I want to challenge you to share Temba. And none of those guys or girls that I shared with got down on their knee in that moment and said a prayer and responded to God. Not that I'm aware of, at least. And this is the good news, that we are not requiring those people to do that in that moment. We are required, however, to tell our story. God's inviting us to live a truly devoted life. A truly devoted life, an intentional life where we're like not just willy-nilly about our neighbors, but maybe that God has put you in that neighborhood for such a time as this. And so River Life, we're called to go and love those neighbors. Some of you literally to the end of the earth, others just here. Your physical neighbors. Hey, this series, it started in Luke's gospel, the Good Samaritan, and this famous story. And I just see that it would be fitting to finish there this morning. Really, Jesus is showing us what it is like to love our neighbors. What it would look like physically, tangibly in love. We are to love our neighbors as the Good Samaritan loved the man on the road to Jericho. When the other men passed on the other side of the road, they left this man like literally for dead, naked, all possessions stolen off him. And the Samaritan stopped and responded. You know, all of this, loving a neighbor, all of this is possible. In fact, it is only possible because Jesus is the Good Samaritan. Do you see? Jesus is the Good Samaritan. It was Jesus who didn't pass on the other side. It was Jesus who left his throne, very different to this world. It was Jesus who tended to the wounds, who picked up the body of the dead man on his own body as he hung on the cross. It was Jesus who was the Good Samaritan to you, to me. And although I was dead in my sin, it was Jesus who saw me, who had compassion on me. But not only compassion on me, not just merely love and compassion, he carried that weight of your brokenness on his own. When he went to the cross, he died for you. The shame and the failures was on his body as he hung there naked and bare. He healed us. He saved us. And guess what? He then laid a deposit of the Holy Spirit, a guarantee of the inheritance that is to come. He said, I'm gonna come back to you one day. I'm gonna absolutely restore you and fix you up. Jesus is this Good Samaritan, River Life. And that is the good news. This is it. This is it. It's that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So have you called out to him? Have you called out to him? Have you called out? Because the Bible is so true and so stern and so strong. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I mean, have you called out to him? Have you personally, not your mom, not your brother, have you yourself called on the name of the Lord? Have you? And if you have you thanked him? Have you thanked him? Have you praised him? Have you offered your life in obedience to him? I mean, if you're yet to call on this name of the Lord, I want you to put your hand up right now. All eyes are open. The lights are still on. I don't mind. Why don't you raise your hand right now? And I just want to acknowledge you that the Lord is doing something in your life. Would you be bold just to put your hand up now? Or try and look. If that is you right now, thank you. Praise the living Lord. Come on. We praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. There is someone here who's calling on your name. Praise you, God. We lift you, Lord. We lift you high. Thank you, God, that all of heaven right now is rejoicing over this person who's called on your name. If anyone else wants to raise their hands, feel free. Praise God. This is the confidence we have if we share the story of God, that he's going to draw people to himself. When he is lifted up, all people are going to be drawn to him. And so praise you, Lord. Hey, I'd really, please, can we give a round of applause for that person? It's awesome. Praise you, Lord. Hey, if that was you, or even if you're like, I just did that in my heart, that's cool. I didn't have the boldness to put my hand up. And awesome. Can I please invite you to come down the front after this moment? And I'd love to just connect with you personally. Yeah, thank you for being so bold. If anyone else wants to come down, or if you are just like, oh man, I need to recommit my life to God. I've just been walking the last 10 years alone, doing it in my own strength. Come forward. We'd love to pray. Recommit your life to the Lord. Or also our prayer team, feel free to come forward now. Our prayer team's going to be available to lay hands, commission you. If you believe like the Lord was doing something in you this morning and you just want to respond and say, I'm ready. I don't want to be ashamed of this gospel anymore. I want to share my story with my neighbors, so that they might come, you know, closer to the Lord. So if that is you as well, why don't you come forward? Why don't we all stand? I'd love to pray for us. Oh Lord God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you are the Good Samaritan to us. You're the one who came for us. You're the one who showed your love for us. So many people before you walked on the other side. So many people ignored us in our brokenness, but you came and you didn't come just to sort of heal us in that little small way. God, full eternal healing with you. Thank you, God. The veil has been torn. We can see you. Oh God, I pray you do something in us as a church, maybe through Share Temba, maybe just through our conversations with our neighbors. Lord, that we would have the boldness to share our story, a powerful witness of what you've done in our lives. And God, we're excited. We're excited to be used for your glory. We just say, Lord, whatever you have for us, whatever your plan is with us, God, that's what we want. We don't want to do our own thing, God. We just want to say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth here as it is in heaven. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your work. Holy Spirit, just keep prompting our hearts right now. Maybe for some to literally respond again for the first time, or just whatever you're doing, Lord, in us. Yeah, we pray you keep leading us in this time.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.